Okay, good evening. This is the Saturday Night Bible Study. I'm Johnny Coffey. This is a Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. This evening, last week I talked about how to do a devotion and how to get one-on-one with God. One of the things that, and I'm very self-conscious about this, I watched one of my videos last week and on YouTube, and when you pull it up without the sound, it prints words, what you're saying. And I noticed that I say, a lot, you know. I'm not sure if I can stop doing that, but now that I'm self-conscious about it, I can't stop thinking about it. But anyway, one of the things is I've really, I've talked about this before, is I've really, over the cat, I got saved in 1996, and over the course of years, there are things that helped me as a Christian. There are things that hurt me as a Christian. There's things that people said, you know, I think, and not to be criticizing pastors or anything like that, but I think a lot of times they don't realize, they think that they say something and they think you understand what they say, but a lot of times they don't. I heard, read your Bible, you should read your Bible, you should study your Bible, you pray, read your Bible, read your Bible. But nobody actually sat me down and said, this is how you do it. Because when you're a new Christian or whatever, you open your Bible and you're just, there's so much, and you start reading and things, you don't understand things, and you don't understand words, and you just, it seems like a lot. You know, the Bible's kind of big, see? You know, my Bible's kind of huge. It seems like a big event. You know, like you're trying to study algebra or Shakespeare or something. And so, one of the things that I wanted to do was there are things I learned over the years about study and reading. One is reading through your Bible. You don't have to do it from Genesis to Revelation. I think you should at least once try to get that done as soon as possible. As a new Christian, you might want to just start with the New Testament books, some of the smaller ones. The epistles, you definitely should read the epistles first, you know. Galatians and 1st, 2nd John and all those, because that's where the Christian doctrine, all that accumulates in those epistles. What the church is supposed to believe, what they're supposed to practice. If it's not in the epistles, it's not important. Okay? Keeping the Sabbath, tithing, those things are not in the epistles. Nowhere are they mentioned in the epistles. All church doctrine is in the epistles. So, one of the things I wanted to talk about was, as I mentioned, how to do a devotion, or how I did it, and to kind of give insight into how you start doing that. You want to read the Bible, because remember, the Christian life is about you having a relationship with God, period. That's it, okay? It's not evangelism, it's not witnessing, it's not giving, it's not preaching, teaching, it's not going to Africa. It's having a relationship with God. You having a personal relationship with God. And your relationship with God getting closer and closer every day. And you loving God every day. Okay? And when you evangelize, your goal is to get them to have a personal relationship with God. And to love Him more every day. Okay? Out of that comes all the other things. Okay? Now the other things will come. And we're going to talk about that this evening. Okay, I want you to look in Matthew chapter 22. This was the first, one of the first devotions I did in the style that I demonstrated last week. Okay, and it's helped me out quite a bit. Okay, Matthew 22, 36 through 41, we're going to be in 34 actually. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? When you read this passage, these two verses are the accumulation of what the law means. Love God, love people. Okay? And it's not 1-2, like one is above. The first one's not above the second one. They're equal. They're side by side. Okay? And I know that people want to act like they're honoring God by putting it in a different order, but that's not God himself. When they ask the question, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't say there's one great commandment. He said there are two. And you have to put that. That's why he says all the law and the these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. If they're like this, they wouldn't. They hang, you know. It's like one's over here, one's a hook over here, one's a hook over here, and all the law and the prophets hang on. Okay. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Now, when you read that phrase, it's not talking about three different things. Man is a spirit, and he has a spiritual side, and he has a physical side. That's it. Okay? We're not a holy trinity. Okay? We're not God. Soul is a figurative term. We talked about that before. It means the whole person. Sometimes it means life. You know, the life of the person left. If you read this passage, if you read in other areas where it talks about the whole person, sometimes it uses the word mind, sometimes it uses the word bowels, sometimes it uses the word spirit. I mean, it changes the words in the word order many different ways, but it's saying the same thing. The whole person, love God with everything you have, okay? Then you know the word heart means your all person, your will, your mind, everything about you, your affections, okay? Love God with everything, all right? And how do you love God with everything? Love God, love people. I want you to notice, we're going to look in Revelation 22:14. It says, love God, Revelation 22:14. The Revelation, or in Greek, it's the apocalypse. That's where we get the word apocalypse. That's why I don't understand the phrase zombie apocalypse. I'm like, the word means revelation. It's Greek for revelation. So you're basically saying there's a zombie revelation coming. Not sure what that means. But in the book of the apocalypse, chapter 22:14. And when I teach, I like to throw in things like that. Things that Christians believe or people believe that just don't make no sense. They're not Bible-based. And I honestly just do not get it. It's right up there with people that say they're a Christian right after they tell you their sign. Yeah. Like that's not two different religions. Revelation 22:14. Now Revelation 22 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates in the city. Now, what does keeping his commandments have to do, with the tree of life? And having eternal life, keeping his commandments. It says in verse 7, it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. We're talking about love here. Okay, so why am I reading Revelation 22? Looking first. Now, you know Revelation was written by John. Like the Gospel of John, the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. All those books were written by him. So let's look at some of his other books. It says, 1 John, let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, remember we're still talking about love. 1 John chapter 2 and 14 through 17. It says, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. How did they overcome the wicked one? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay? Verse 17, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It doesn't say he who has faith in God. It says he who does the will of God abideth forever. Sounds like eternal life to me. So why is it talking about obeying? Obeying. Well, let's look in chapter 5, 1 through 5. Chapter 5 of 1 John 1 through 5. Okay, what does this say? It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus, believeth, we're talking about faith, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth also him that is begotten of him. He's talking about love, faith, and love. What do we say in Matthew chapter 22? It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now, how do you do that? Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. We love God and we keep his commandments. How do you know you love God? You keep his commandments. Okay? Verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? He that overcometh. The Bible keeps talking about us overcoming. It keeps talking about us keeping the commandments, right? But we're saved by faith. We're not saved by works, right? Well, let's look back at Revelation 22, 14 that we just read. Revelation 22, 14. There is a method to this madness. 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates in the city. Now let's look at Hebrews 11. He that has faith overcometh. He that have overcometh keep his commandments. He that keep his commandments has right to the tree of life. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Hebrews 11. Okay. Sorry it's taking time, but I like to use my Bible, you know. I know people can use their tablets and stuff. It's not satanic to use the Bible on a tablet. But I just love my Bible. I love books. I'm a book collector. I have 4 bookcases full of books that nobody else likes, nobody else reads, but I enjoy them. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Okay, Olivia, 5 and 6. By faith, I've always loved this. This is just cool. When I saw this, one day God, I didn't understand verse 5 for the longest. And then when I got it, and this is the thing about not doing devotions. Don't read somebody else's devotional, a prescribed devotional, because you're getting what somebody, God's taught somebody else. One of the things that have encouraged me as a Christian and prove that I'm born again is the fact that God speaks to me through his word. He doesn't speak to lost people, okay? A lost person can take a devotional book and read it and get inspiration. Why? Because somebody else has been spoken to by God. And they can read it and go, wow, that's helpful. I can take that and use that. But see, only a born-again Christian can go to the Word of God, study the Word of God, and have him speak to them through the Holy Spirit. Never forget that. And that increases your faith. When it says the Word increases the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Does it comes from the devotional? It comes from the Word of God. Okay? Directly from the Word of God. So by faith, Enoch was translated. That he should, or, you know, he went up into the air. That he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before he had his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, if you stop there, you get the idea that Enoch was just this good old boy. He was a good guy. He was keeping the commandments. He was doing what God told him to do, and God translated him. He didn't even die. He's such a good guy, right? Well, we know that violates Scripture. Scripture says there are none good, none that seek after God. We are all sinners. We are all lost. We are all depraved. We are all deserving of hell. So what made Enoch so special? What made Enoch so close to God that God just took him home to spend time with him? You got to go to verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's the connection. Look and please him in verse 6, connected to he pleased God in verse 5. And you'll see the reason Enoch pleased God was because he had faith in God. He was saved by faith, just like you and me. All right? He was saved by faith, just like you and me. Now let's go back to our text, Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Sounds like Enoch to me. And the second is like an it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is so important. This is the apex of Christianity. This is the apex of the Bible. This verse is the most important commandment in the Bible. Okay? The reason is because until you learn to love God, until you fall in love with God, to where your music doesn't matter, your clothes don't matter, to where you're not thinking overtly about these things, to you're not just consumed with, you have to have this to be happy, you have to be on social media to be happy, you have to have people, you know, you have to have friends, you have to have this, you have to have, you know, until you have a relationship. One thing that got me the last couple months of being going through this, what we've been going through lately with the COVID thing, is that I don't want to fake it. I see so many Christians faking it. I see so many Christians going smiling. Hey, everybody, smile. Let's smile. You go, people, I got family members that they've been faking it so long, they don't even know. Like, people don't even know if they had a real smile because they've never seen the real smile, you know? They had that, you know? Even on their business cards, there's that, you know, that fake smile. Because they've been trained to do that. And the thing is I don't want to do that. I want to have this relationship. You read, I've been reading a lot of the Puritan commentaries and stuff. And you read those books and you hear about what they're talking about and the relationship with God and how they prayed for 3 hours. It's not the time period they prayed. It's the fact that they were with God. They were hanging out with God. You have friends. Do you have people that you just love being around, that you can just spend hours talking about anything and everything and nothing, and you just enjoy being with that person? That's how our relationship with God should be. That's how they prayed for 3 hours, not because it was some duty. They were praying for 3 hours because they knew how important it was to meet with God and how much they loved it. It takes time to get there. It does. It does, because the devil will fight you all the way. But the thing is you will grow to realize how much your relationship with God matters, you know, and once you meet him, if you ever meet him, if you're ever in the presence, filled with the Spirit, talking to God, and it's just you and him, and you know it's God, and he answers your prayers, and he speaks through his word, and you're just content. You know, things messing up, but I swear, if you saw my house, I have, you know, basically, I have no flooring. I have subfloor, basically, 2x4s, hardwood on part of it, 2x4s on part of it. I think there's a piece of composite board that somebody put in there. But it's a solid floor. It's ugly. People walk in, they feel sorry for me. It's a solid floor, and I have a home. I have a place to live. I have heat and air, and I have electricity, and I have a washing machine and a dryer. I have what I need. God's taking care of me, and I have a relationship with God. I love the Lord, and I know the Lord loves me. And I don't need a pat on the back saying I'm a good Christian, I'm doing a good job, and I don't need 20 people to like my post to make me feel good about myself. Because I know the God of the universe, died on the cross for me. Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again for me. Okay? He died on the cross. He saved me from hell. I have no complaints. There's nothing for me to complain about. No matter what I've went through, no matter the fact that I have PTSD, doesn't matter that I have bipolar 1. Okay? All right? Doesn't matter the hardships I've went through. I can tell you things that I can't even talk about because they're so horrible that, I couldn't talk about them in mixed company. But guess what? I have nothing to complain about. I'm going to spend eternity with the Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit for all eternity. I have that relationship. See, one of the things about the Christian life is we, a lot of times we look at, when we go to heaven, everything will be all right. No, it won't. Everything's all right now. We need to get it through our head that everything is okay now. It doesn't matter what disease. People think it's worse. Everything's so bad. Politics and all this other stuff. And people are more evil and they're more. And I'm not saying things ain't grown worse and worse, but dude, are you serious? I mean, it kills me where people, they compare it. Well, back in the day, I'm reading commentaries from the 1950s, and they're talking about, things used to be, people used to go to church, and people used to love the Lord, and used to, and then I read a commentary from the 1800s, and they're saying the same thing. Every generation, the music was better back then, the movies were better back then, the da-da-da, all this stuff. And it's just, it's a lie. It's a straight up lie. Okay. I was talking to my pastor a couple weeks ago and we were talking about old movies and stuff. And, there used to not be, regulation on anything, back in the 70s, they had 12-year-old girls nude in movies and nobody thought anything about it. Eventually they got the, regulations and took care of all that stuff. There were all kinds of immoral things that they would do and show in movies and do things to actors. I know the Wizard of Oz, I watched a biography on that. And that girl, the main character, and her name slips my mind, but she was starved to death because she had to be a certain weight to be in the movie, and she wasn't allowed to eat, and she wasn't, and they fed her pills so that she would lose weight and stuff, and all this weird stuff. And I think about those things. The reason I bring it up is I think about how we talk about back in the day, this didn't happen, back in the day, that didn't happen. And let me open your minds in this situation. It's always been evil. The world's always been evil. The world's always going to be evil. Okay? There's always going to be war. There's always going to be famine. There's always going to be hurricanes. There's always going to be another disease, great disease that comes, Spanish flu, the Black Death, COVID, Y2K, whatever. There's always going to be something because we're in a sin-fallen world. We are in a sin-fallen world, and we have got to learn to have a love relationship with the God of the universe. You realize the God of the universe that is in control of all this, that takes care of all of this. We've been through, in my lifetime, we've been through like 5-6 presidents from two different major political parties. Guess what? Same things happen. The same thing. Didn't matter who was in office. Same things happen. People have stolen money. People have given money. Bills have been passed that were illegal. Bills have been passed that were good for people. The same thing. You know why? Because we're in the same world. The same people. Okay? The only person that you put your faith and trust in is the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that this love relationship with God and the universe. And you only get that through. That's the reason I harp so much about doing devotions for yourself and not doing somebody else's devotions is this relationship only comes through you spending time with God. You praying. You studying your Bible. Okay? You praying. You studying your Bible. You witnessing. You giving. Okay? You giving to missions. You giving to the local church. You going on a mission trip. Okay? You personally talking to a person, okay? Your love relationship, if you can get this love relationship with God the Father took care of, you will keep His commandments. That will outflow into you evangelizing. It will outflow into you watching what you say. It'll outflow in watching what you watch, what you see, what you how you treat people. It'll outflow That's the reason the second one, you start with the first one, it bleeds into the second one. And that's how you know the first one. You can't love people. People are sinners. People are wicked. People are always doing you harm. You cannot love your enemies until you first love God who first loved you. You love God and it'll flow into outflow into all these things. You will see people for who they are. Sinners on their way to hell. And when you see someone in that position, all this stuff that we get angry about, all this stuff that bothers us about people, that stuff will just fly away. You know, you see people for who they are, just like you. There ain't nobody that's done worse things to me. There's nobody that's done more good than me. We're all the same. We're all in the same boat. That's the reason the Bible always, if you look in the Old Testament, God uses the illustration of leprosy for sin. Okay? Leprosy is the ultimate picture of sin. Okay? And being a leper is the ultimate picture of a person without Christ. Sin cursed. Okay? We are sinners. We have a sin nature. The importance of that is that it doesn't matter how much good deeds a leper does. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter how nice things he says. It doesn't matter if he makes you a sandwich. You're not going to touch that sandwich. You don't care what he says. You don't care what good deeds he does. You know why? Because he's a leper. Okay? If you touch him, you're going to get leprosy. And your flesh is going to rot off. Right? That's sin. So doing all these good deeds and thinking we're good people because without first having a personal relationship with God, the universe, it doesn't mean anything. If you don't get this first, that's the reason I'm harping on this. If you do not get this love relationship with God the Father taken care of first, you'll let every preacher and pastor and missionary and Sunday school teacher jerk your strings. They'll have you running around. If you're doing commandments, if you're obeying people out of guilt, if you do anything in the Christian life out of guilt, you're not right with God. Nothing done out of guilt will ever glorify God. You will never please God. You do it in faith, out of love. If you do it out of guilt, you're not glorified. God is not being glorified, for one thing. Anything you do that doesn't glorify God is sin. So if you do what you're doing out of guilt, you're actually sinning against God. That's Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. You do it because you love God, and therefore that love will spread into others. You will see people. You'll care about people. You won't be picking at every little wrong thing that they do, because you'll realize they're sinners. What else are they going to do? You know, that's what kills me when I hear people talk about, well, I would never. Anytime you hear someone say, I would never do that. I don't care if it's lying, cheating on their spouse, blah, blah, blah. Anyone who says, I would never do that, they're full of pride. Because even though I haven't done drugs and I haven't drank, I haven't had a cigarette since 1996, and I haven't had drugs and alcohol since 1999, and I've been drug-free and I'm straight-edge, no one's as straight-edge as I am. Okay, not anywhere, not here anyway. Okay, I don't even take my medication for my arthritis because I don't like taking pills. If I don't have to take something, I don't take it. I take the medication I have to take, and that's it. Okay, and I'm hardcore about it because I used to be an addict. Okay, but for me to think that I would never fall, that I would never take a drink, that I would never do a drug, that's pride. Only a person with pride would make that statement, especially when they've been there, okay? And there's a lot of Christians who are full of pride who, you know, you can, you know, they'll lie to you to your face and then say, I would never lie. I'm a Christian. I'm like, please, everybody lies. We all lie. We don't mean to do it sometimes. A lot of times we don't want to, but we still lie. Because we're sinners. So you want to take care of this situation. Love the Lord thy God. It frees you up. If you're doing everything out of love, and someone tells you to do something, and you're like, well, I'm trying to keep the commandments. I want to keep the commandments. I want to keep the commandments that I'm supposed to give, the moral law. I'm supposed to obey the law out of love, through grace. You know, I don't feel guilty. I'm not doing this out of guilt. I love the Lord and I want to obey Him and I'm trying to do the right thing. Okay? That way when someone takes the Bible and they twist it and they try to tell you to do something and you know it's not Bible, you don't have to do it. You just walk away. Nope, that doesn't line up with the Bible. I'm here to honor God. I'm not here to make a public show. I'm not here to fit in with everybody. I'm not here to, oh, everybody thinks this is wrong, so I can't say that or I can't do this. No, if they think that, let them think that. Your concern is loving God, keeping His commandments. And you love other people. It doesn't mean you go around and you bully people and you make fun of them because they believe different than you. You just do the right thing because you love the Lord. Make sure that you start, if anybody got anything out of this lesson, and I'm about to quit, if anyone gets anything out of this lesson, get this. Have a relationship. Make sure. Get along with God. Pray tonight. Get in the Bible. Make sure that you're having a personal relationship with God every day, and you have faith in Him every day. Everything else will take care of itself. Good night.